Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
The Office of the Presidency.
Oh, five. Okay. So commerce, education, and
President's EPA. Office.
EPA. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's stop deposition.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government.
Yeah.
I would do away with the education, commerce.
Office of the Presidency.
I can't.
The Vice Presidency. There's three offices right there. And then, of course, you could do away with the Treasury and perhaps even the Defense Department. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So as you see, my most dire pessimistic predictions are coming true right in front of your eyes. The Republicans are committing hara-kiri in front of the world. You see even the imperfect lying Gallup poll. Even the imperfect lying Gallup poll shows that two months ago, as a matter of fact, Obama was way behind a generic Republican candidate. Now they're almost even. So it just shows you that the debates they're running are destroying the Republican candidates one by one. Now that's in addition to the mud being slung by the evil operatives of Obama, like Axelrod, smearing Cain with false charges. Something Axelrod is very well known for is bringing up false sexual charges against people, well known for that. This is who's running your country right now, one of the most dangerous people in the history of the elections. In the history of elections, I don't think there's anybody as dirty as David Axelrod. Articles about what he's done to previous candidates are shocking to see what this man does. But nevertheless, even the Gallup poll is now showing 43-42 Obama versus a Republican generic. While a month ago, it was unbelievable. 2-3 months ago, it was 47-39. So by doing nothing but playing night basketball, he's moving up in the polls. And while making themselves into idiots, they're falling down in the polls. The Republicans are taking a dive. And I would say the smart money would say that Obama wins again for two reasons. One, the whole illegal community will vote for Obama, and there's no controls over the illegal aliens. No voter ID laws allowed in Axelrod's America. After all, you want as many illegal aliens from Mexico to vote as possible, don't you? Secondly, the Tea Party will not come out in huge numbers for Romney. Why? They're not excited by him because of his liberal social policies and his Romney care. So therefore, it looks to me like the fix is in. It's all over, clearly going in that direction again. The smart money would say it's Obama term two. And thanks to that, we might have a mini Chavez in our hands. Frightening to think what he might do. It's frightening to think of what this man might do if he's given a second term. Because right now, he's playing a centrist game. He's becoming, he's hiding, in other words, what he was doing the first 2 years, right? Do you want me to talk about the Paterno incident? You want me to talk about Sandusky? Do you want me to talk about this amazing, crazy, insane story? We can do that. How about tuberculosis breaking out at Occupy Atlanta? It was only a matter of time until contagion spread in these fetid little tent cities. Let's see. What else is there in the news? There's so many other stories I'm afraid to tell you about. And the biggest story is Perry committing hara-kiri in front of America. Really, truthfully, there's no bigger story than that. It's astounding to me. This is what democracy has come down to. This is the best democracy can produce. Astounding. What would you like to talk about? The Republicans taking a dive, Jerry Sandusky rumored to have pimped out young boys, Penn State students rioting after learning of the firing of legendary football coach Joe Paterno, the CNBC GOP presidential debate where finally America sees the true face of Maria Tartiromo, whatever her name is. Maria Tartiromo was booed last night because she tried to introduce the smears onto Kane's back, and it backfired on her. How about Occupy Portland getting violent, the Molotov cocktail thrown by some of them at the World Trade Center? There are so many stories that I will let you take control of the story. The biggest one isn't even on the websites yet. It's up on michaelsavage.com, and I don't even know how to begin talking about this, so I'll let you do it. Let's see if it's up on the top right. There it is. Reggie Love is gone. Obama body man to leave White House. Now, you don't know who Reggie Love is, but he's been shadowing the president ever since he entered the White House. He is with him everywhere. He is his body. The person who keeps him on schedule is what they say. But why do you think they're forcing Reggie Love out now at this time? Why now? Why now? Why this time? Investigator says Kane is innocent of sexual advances. Crowd booed Maria Tartiromo when Kane was asked about allegations. Ex-Israeli president to serve 7 years for rape. Superstar Savage skyrockets, Rush flatlines in the internet radio ratings. Israel may launch strike in Iran as soon as next month. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Perry blanks during debate. But there's so many other stories there. I mean, I'm going down my list here on the MichaelSavage.com, and you haven't called on anything yet. All right, you're not there. So I'll bring up what I wanted to talk about today. I found something in general going on in America today, which is that nobody listens to anybody else. I've never seen anything quite like this. It wasn't always like this. With the advent of the internet, people don't listen to the other person. They only listen to the other person if it's a boss giving them a command and they're afraid of losing their job. I'm talking about either in families or between people who know each other. Nobody listens to the other person. Apparently, they let the other person talk and then they talk. It's sort of like a two-way radio where you have to press over and they don't actually hear what you're saying. It's just they press over and they talk again. And then when I said that today to myself, I said, you know how lucky you are? No one listens to anybody and you have an audience of millions. How does that work? So I began to think about it. Why do millions of people listen to the Michael Savage show? Why do millions of people listen to the other talk radio shows that are in the top five? And the answer is because they don't listen to each other. Apparently, we in the media are the only people you listen to. We're the only authorities left that you actually believe. Everybody else is not listening. It's true. Now, look, as I am speaking with you, my audience in this studio is quite clearly a very important one. I have Teddy, the 11-pound gray poodle, who is now 7 years of age, sleeping at my left foot. And for a special treat today, I brought his sort of semi-white poodle, Tasha, who you never hear me talking about. I don't know, she's blind in one eye, she's deaf, she doesn't listen to anybody. She's like the average audience attendee. You say something to her, she stares the other way. You say, come here, she goes there. You say, go there, she runs the other way. Teddy, on the other hand, is a loyal friend, so he knows what to do during a show. He hears his master's voice, and he knows the world as well. He knows all is well in the world because Michael is speaking. And he knows he's good for the next couple of hours. Everything is in place. The other one is sitting there on high alert, staring at the wall, not knowing what's coming the next minute. She's like the average Democrat voter waiting for the sky to fall in from global warming or a comet. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Lots of callers. We'll start in Indianapolis, Indiana. Usually a talk show has to say, yes, I was on 26th Street. I was at Indianapolis once. Three years ago, my son sponsored an Indy car at Indianapolis. Phenomenal experience being in those pits. Indianapolis, Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, that's amazing, isn't it? How close do you think Obama is to Robespierre?
Well, who's Madame Defarge? Let's start with that. Is it Hillary Clinton or is it his mother-in-law, Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, it's got to be Hillary. I mean, because you know, after all, the Jacobs ended up, you know, hanging each other after they, or you know, decapitating each other after they got it done. But I think Obama.
Well, Robespierre is an interesting analogy, but right now Obama's playing sort of the centrist Harry Truman, isn't he?
Well, to us he is, but I think there's a lot going on under the surface, and I don't know how organized and how coordinated the SEIU is with, say, the Occupy, the Stanks down there in Wall Street and whatever.
Well, you
else.
See, but God's hand is starting to show itself. In one case, they threw a Molotov cocktail in one city, so even the cowardly mayor of that city is saying he has to do something about it. In Atlanta, tuberculosis has been discovered in the Occupy encampment. This is to be expected when you have people living in such close quarters without sanitary facilities, no hygiene whatsoever, and very, very poor concepts of health to begin with. And so TB has now broken out, especially with the large homeless population that is mixing in amongst the nymphomaniacal girls from the local colleges. So this unto itself will be a limit. These will be limiting factors, the violence, the STDs, the tuberculosis. As far as the SEIU, I have no comment. I don't know. I don't even understand what they have to gain by promoting this, truthfully. What in the world does a union have to gain by promoting this rabble? Do you have any idea?
Well, it's largesse. It's an excuse to expand the government. I mean, this disorder...
So in other words, they think that if they associate themselves with these idiots in these encampments, they're going to force the Congress to vote more money out of the taxpayers' hide? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's
presidency.
The third one there?
Let's the office see. Of the president. He's going to eliminate the third office of the presidency. That's all. Finished. Next case. I see Billy Crystal, they've dug him up after the scandal of the F word. He's going to host the Oscars. Now, I don't know, where has he been all these years? Can a senior safely take Crystal? Because he'll sure need some to get through the Oscars. Where's he thinking? I mean, where is Billy Crystal? He's at some kind of senior home in Nassau County. He was funny when I was a youth. He was funny when Milton Berle was just leaving the business. He was entering it. Where is the guy? Does he do anything anymore? I mean, why him? They couldn't get anyone else. This one got thrown out for saying the F word. Then Eddie Murphy, I think, left because he's a friend of the guy who got thrown out saying the F word. I don't really watch the Oscars. It's a trade show to me. Nervous people. I hear they have to bring a flatbed full of meth in from Mexico for that audience. The demand is so high to sit still for so long. There's so much ADD in the audience. You think they're all straight because they clean up for the night. You know how stoned they are sitting there in those suits hating everybody? They all hate each other. They hate each other. They're so full of hate and jealousy. I don't know how they, whatever. It's a wonderful country. It truly is to see all of this. But yeah, I'm trying to avoid talking about the Penn State story because I can't believe this is true. Eight underage boys now. Sandusky faces 460 years in jail for alleged sexual abuse of eight underage boys. Well, I would say with time served, by the time he's actually convicted in this country and the appeals, that might take 16 years. With between time served and time off for bad behavior, he might be out after, let's say, 230 years, you know. So he does have something to look forward to. God, who is this guy, Sandusky, former Penn State defensive coordinator. Well, he'll be coordinating some defense in the next few weeks. The former Penn State defensive coordinator, that's a perfect title for Sandusky today. I guarantee he's lining up some defense. Who's going to pay for it? What, are you going to make the university pay for his defense now? Eight boys over 15 years through a charity he founded for at-risk youth. I can't believe this is true. I just can't believe it's true. I don't want to believe it's true. Do you want to believe this is true? I can't believe it's true. But how could it not be true? You think it's true? But let's say he did it. Okay, he should be punishable by death, not imprisonment. If he actually did this to gone. And I'm not a member of the Westboro Baptist Church, but I'll tell you, you rape a boy. Let me be very clear. You could joke around up to a point. If this guy did it, I would say the death penalty would be fine by me. But what are they dragging in Paterno for? I don't get that part of it. You really think he knew and he didn't do anything? What are you destroying him for? Now, the latest allegation, giving out the boys to donors? Do you really believe that? Two clown local talk show hosts in the town are saying that's true. I don't believe that. That's like believing Amanda Knox will be the homecoming queen in Seattle. Well, she could be, actually, the way things are. Well, that's like believing the Kane accuser could be the homecoming queen in Dallas. Let's put it to you that way. Texas, Matt, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to say that I was a little disappointed you think that Obama's going to be a one-termer. He's not going to be a one-termer.
My job is not to sit here like most of the other hosts and just simply be a Republican water boy. I mean, I'm an independent conservative. Does that mean I have to support the Republicans? I never have.
Absolutely not, and I'm not one of their water boys either. I'm a conservative, but I'm not a Republican.
Why do you think it's wrong of me to tell you what I think is going on?
I don't think it's wrong for anyone to express their opinion. I just would submit that it's going to be a harder task if, say, Romney is the nominee, like you mentioned earlier. I mean,
it's going to be almost an impossible task because the Tea Party is not going to come out for him. Of course, many of them will vote for him, but most won't. They will not come out for a social liberal. They will not, and they're not stupid. They know what's going on. They're afraid that Romney will be business as usual. Then they'll evaluate it and say, you know what, but he's better than a Marxist in the White House. I'll vote for him. Maybe 50-60% will say that, but not every one of them who would come out for a flame-throwing conservative along the lines of Kane are going to come out for Romney. On the other hand, Romney will get a lot of the independents who would not vote for Kane. And a lot of the people who have bigotry towards black men might vote for Romney, but that'll be neutralized by his Mormonism. So it's a very complicated picture right now.
Well, may I make a suggestion? That would be that let's say Romney is the nominee, it makes the job a little harder for Tea Party patriots, but if we really are patriots, we realize the job is harder, period. And that means you keep the pressure up on
Right. Well, I don't see it that way. I believe the Republicans are committing suicide on purpose. And I believe that's because the two-party system is totally broken, and it's really a one-party Monty.
Savage.
I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the
Department of Anthropology. I'd eliminate the Department of Anthropology.
Commerce, education, and the
Department of Women's Studies.
EPA, there you go. No, okay.
There you go.
Seriously? Is EPA?
What do you expect the liberals to do? Not jump on that? I mean, if Obama said it, they would congratulate him for being, contrite. Ah, unbelievable. But he's finished. That's it. It's over. It's barbecue with George Bush after this. It's just barbecue down in Crawford. That's the most. I mean, this is going to haunt the poor man. And I like Perry. Look, don't get me wrong. I don't care whether they come on the show or not. I have a big announcement tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but we have one of the whales coming on the show tomorrow. They got the message of what happened to Bachman by giving me the middle finger. So it's not that. I don't care one way or the other anymore. I'll be here. They'll be there. I wish them all good luck, truthfully. I actually even wish Obama good luck. I wish Axelrod good luck. I wish everybody good luck. You know, 7 billion people on the planet, we all need good luck, don't we? It's America that I care about. I mean, I guess I still believe in the Boy Scout motto. I can't help it, but I took the Boy Scout motto and I still believe in it. Do you think I'm wrong for saying that Perry is finished after this? Larry in Pittsburgh, you're up on the Savage Nation.
I've seen high school debaters do a better job than that. Does he not have a note card, a pen? I didn't understand it.
Well, I agree with you. There's something wrong with the whole picture, isn't there? Just shooting from the hip like that. Yeah, I mean, shooting from the hip is one thing, but shooting blanks is another. I mean, it's okay if you're from Texas and you draw quickly off each hip, but you better have more than a cap gun. That's all. Next case. Bingo. I'd rather talk about the movies than this, to be honest with you. Politics has its limitation. The shock charge about the guy. No one's calling about the Penn State. Isn't that interesting? No one is calling about Sandusky and the cover-up. And the DA who charged Sandusky has disappeared in 2005. They found his car. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm a novelist, for God's sakes. This is a sideline. I may have to write this into the book. DA who never charged Sandusky has been missing since 2005. Why didn't Center County DA Ray Grecar prosecute Jerry Sandusky the first time he was accused in 1998? We may never know, as Grecar disappeared in 2005. Did you know that? Did you know this story or not? Center County DA Ray Grecar never prosecuted Jerry Sandusky on child rape charges 13 years ago because Grecar was known for being fiercely independent and hard on crime. Okay? What do you mean, because? Grecar, who was known as the tough-as-nails DA, disappeared in 2005. His body has never been found. They found his car. They found his cell phone. Here, his car was found the next day in a Lewisburg parking lot, and his laptop without a hard drive was found in the Susquehanna River. Can you believe this? Grecar's friend, Montour County DA Robert Brunner Jr., told the NY team Times that if the Arden DA had committed suicide, he would have wanted his body found. So it was foul play. Someone knocked him off. Listen to me. The tough DA who had the case all those years ago did not prosecute this guy, and he's found dead, or he's disappeared, rather. Now, let's go into the incident itself. There was an alleged incident in 2002 in which a graduate assistant told Penn State coach Joe Paterno that he witnessed Sandusky raping a 10-year-old boy in the PSU locker rooms. Oh, God. I don't even want to read this anymore. If you are a parent, do you understand what this is? You understand this is not just words anymore? Can you imagine if your little boy was violently and painfully raped by a pedophile? Can you believe this? I don't believe this. I can't accept it happened. Because this is a holocaust upon a child's soul. A holocaust, by the way, refers to, I know those of you who think I'm appropriating a term that's inappropriate, you're wrong. A holocaust means to die by fire or a great fire. And then you got the kids protesting and rioting over the loss of a football coach. What are the spoiled little zombies mad about? What are they mad about? If Paterno didn't say anything, he's complicit. But I don't know whether he said it or not. I mean, well, why wouldn't he say anything? Because Sandusky was his friend? And who would kill a prosecutor? Who would... Something is... I don't get that. I can't even answer. It's... You know, I don't have an answer for certain things. It leaves me speechless. It leaves me speechless. And I don't know how anybody could be a cop in this country, frankly, with what they put up with the vermin on the left, with the ACLU. And then when they get a guy like this, what a cop would like, they can't. How could they control themselves? If a cop is tough enough for the job, he has to have a lot of violence in his soul. Let me start with that. If you don't have violence, you've got to be irrationally violent. No, it's like a laser beam or whatever you want to make the comparison to. But if you're a weakling, don't become a cop. Don't go into the police work. We need you as the... somebody wrote an interesting thing about the law enforcement personnel, who they really are, or even, you know, the warrior class of soldiers, not the deadbeats who sit in the Pentagon and just write contracts and look for their jobs. The actual frontline combat troop, the policeman, the real policeman as opposed to the gold bricker, they are in essence as, I'm trying to use the exact right word, let's just say just as physically capable as the worst criminal. Let's put it in that genre. So in other words, they're potentially homicidal just like the criminal if they're a really good cop. The difference is they are our Irish wolfhounds. The police, the soldiers, they're our Irish wolfhounds protecting we the sheep from the wolves. Do you understand that? Without cops, without frontline soldiers, we'd all be devoured. It's interesting I'm bringing this up now because what I'm reading is what went on in the world prior to this century. The violence committed against people, I guess it's still going on in places like Libya and Africa. Look what we just did there. we killed about 40,000 Libyans with our war against the Gaddafi, and that wasn't considered a war crime because it was a good war crime. See, only Republicans can commit war crimes, but let's not get sidetracked. I'm reading a very interesting book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the British Empire. It's a fabulous book, and every word is written so clearly. Anyway, he describes battles between the British and against Afghanis, or the British and the Pakistanis at that time. And in many cases, the Muslims gave the British, after the British lost, let's say, a battle, they told them they would have safe passage. So 16,000 British, it was 4,000 troops and 12,000 civilians, mainly children and women, tried to cross the Khyber Pass because they were assured safe passage, when in fact their enemies were waiting for them, and they killed everybody after raping all of the women, putting them into harems. They killed everybody except one man survived. And you look at them, what the British did after that to get even. Very soon thereafter that, they leveled an entire city. And they subdued these heathens at that time with the violence that they were able to inflict upon these people who did that to those 16,000 people that had been deceived. The point I'm making is, there are many points I'm making. One is that without a strong military, we'd all be chewed up like sheep. Without strong police, we'd be eaten alive in the streets of this country, because the number of violent predators is at a higher level than it's ever been because of the high use of drugs. Okay, you just don't know what really goes on in the streets. It's my job to tell you it's a very dangerous world out there. And the only thing separating you from them are the violent police who control themselves. Now, having said that, with my little sidetrack here, let's get back to Sandusky. I wonder if Mike, his own sons, and wondered what would it feel like to have this done to them. Why is this going on? Why are we releasing psychotics back into society? Why is this possible? So again, you're not supposed to rush to judgment, but why is Paterno culpable? Why? I don't understand this. They say it's Paterno's moral failure to contact police or to ensure that the cover-up going on for the child rapist, the cover-up was exposed. So something is very wrong here. Paterno was the captain of the ship, and it's true that the captain has to take the blame if the ship hits an iceberg. But why is it that the child rapist, the alleged child rapist, is allowed to walk free when he is clearly a danger to the community? Why is he the one? And it's interesting that there's another thing here. You notice how the media is showing pictures of Paterno, and the president, the college, and they almost never show a picture of Sandusky? Why is that? Because they're trying to smear all of them. See, there's an element in here that you have to see that's all part of it. The very same media, well, I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to go out on a limb here with something you're not ready to accept. You're not ready to accept what I'm going to say. What time is it? Did I blow through another? Dog's asleep. He's happy. He hears the voice, his master's voice. Your dogs are happy listening to the Savage Nation. More people listen to this show for the reason that they like I calm their dogs down, the sound of my voice. They don't even listen to me, the people who have the radio on. They're busy doing something else, but they turn the show on so that the dog is calm. My voice has a calming effect upon dogs and hysterical women. And I'm not doing that I'm not trying to insult women, but it does calm down hysteria. A calm male voice is very good for the nation. And I'm trying to calm the nation down. I turned the corner today on something. You notice I said that I wish good luck upon Obama and good luck upon everybody and good luck upon Axelrod. I've decided to become a unifier rather than someone who actually sees things as they are. And what I'm going to try and do now is be like King David and bring the nation together. And I feel the only way to heal the nation is actually by not attacking anybody. I may occasionally have a quip here and there, but it's pointless for me to attack anybody. It doesn't get us anywhere. I've decided it doesn't get me anywhere. They deserve it. Many people are so evil it's beyond belief, or so anti-American, but it's not my job. I'm starting to think about it as a talk show host. I had like a revelation in the middle of the night. I've been having just strange revelations about myself, my place in the universe, and what I have to do going forward, whether it be another day, another year, another month, another week, another 10 years, whether in life or on the radio. I have a certain role to fulfill. And my role is changing. It's changed dramatically. You've changed. The country's changed. The politics of the country has changed. And I'm changing. How do you like that? I've just changed in front of your eyes. It's the same Savage, just a different approach to everything. You understand that? Same analysis, same insightful analysis, but it's just going to be a different kind of approach to you, the audience. And there's a reason for it, which I don't have to explain to you. Okay, what are, I'm going to gain something by screaming, cut him apart, take the molester and hang him, cut off his genitals. I could do that. That's a cheap shot. What good is that going to get us? Where are we going to go with that? We're going to get mad at the Marxists who have ruined America? What good has that done us? Most people are so stupid in this country, they don't even hear what you're saying to them anyway. They're worse than the Pavlovian dog. Colorado, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm going to have to agree with you about these Republican candidates. And I lay the blame for the mediocrity on George W. Bush. And I come to that conclusion because of something you said a number of years ago. You said that Bush, Rove, that whole machine, and you used a baseball analogy, has prevented any hot young conservative star like you and I would agree with, the borders, language, and culture.
Yes, yes.
Any of them from developing in the bullpen and rising to the top?
Absolutely. Rove is the man I distrust the least. He makes my flesh crawl.
Oh yeah,
distrust the most. I'm sorry. I mean distrust the most with that regard. He's an operative. That's all. He's an operative.
And that's why.
And for him to come out and start attacking Kane. Like he did last week, I knew that Rove was basically simply a Republican tactician.
Up to their old trick. They're now attacking Kane.
Yes. Well, and Fox News is fundamentally an outlet of the Republican Party. We've known that for a very long time. It doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them evil. But they really ought to just come out and say that they're part and parcel of the Republican Party. And Rush is as well. Rush is a part of the Republican Party. That does not make Rush a bad man, but he is a absolute operative of the Republican Party in my analysis.
I'm afraid so. And so
he even said he caught himself 2 years ago, Rush. And I respect the man. I respect what he's done for the medium. He even said he was a water carrier, and he's not going to be that way anymore. Remember that toward the end of Bush's reign? He said, I was a water carrier for the Republican Party. I'm not going to do it anymore. He was trying to, triangulate the opposition who was on to him. But fundamentally, he really is a Republican operative, and so is the Fox News Network. That, again, does not make them bad people. Just as many outlets are clearly Democrat in the Democrat camp or democratically controlled, fundamentally, it's a true with Fox, the Republican outlet, and I guess the country needs that. But I, as an independent conservative, can't sit here and say Fox News is great because of that.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I want to ask you, since you have a voice like Gene Autry, what do you think of this Sandusky affair?
Coach Turner has been coaching, and I'm not a Penn State fan, but I mean, I admire him. He's been coaching since I was born. It's just a sad thing, and if this guy has done it,
you're almost speechless, because no man listening to this show, no grown man who has children could ever even let this in their mind. They can't fathom it. You know that?
Well,
you can't fathom a grown man doing that to an 8-year-old, 10-year-old boy. You can't fathom it, and yet it goes on. I'll be right back. Crazy, crazy day. It's getting crazier by the day. You think it's going to lighten up, and it gets heavier. Here's another one. Oscar De La Hoya threw kinky coke-fueled sex party, says a lawsuit. Another woman comes forward to describe the fishnet job. She's doing a book. There's no end to these low-life gold-digging sluts. He already acknowledged he did it, that he has a thing for fishnets. But it doesn't stop the desperate and the lonely from doing these things. Doesn't stop them at all. Why he ever admitted he did it, I'll never understand. He could have said it was photoshopped and let it go at that. But, okay, these therapists talk guys into it. He didn't have to admit it. He could still kick your butt wearing high heels and a garter belt, I guarantee you. What's the difference what he wears in his private his private life? That's your business that Oscar De La Hoya wore a fishnet? I don't understand why you should care. Anyway, Mobile, Alabama. Ted, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael Savage. It's an honor to talk to you. I've been listening about 10 years. I wanted to, you commented about how you changed recently, and I did recall, it seemed like earlier on, I used to laugh a lot more when I listened to your shows, and I love that. I still love your show, don't get me wrong. But and I understand it's hard to be funny in such depressing times, but I really miss that. Distinctly, I can remember a couple years ago, you played the sound of a dentist drilling teeth as Obama was talking. He was trying to decide.
Yeah, maybe I've lost my sense of humor. Things have gotten so grim. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You want me to level with you now that you bring it up? My whole persona changed once I was banned in England. I've been in wrapped up in legal problems ever since. And I don't know how I wrote a novel, how I do a daily show, and how I go on with my life, but I do. I mean, I must have been involved now for 2-3 years with this that I never asked for. And it's killing me. It's destroying my spirit. But I have no choice. I have to defend myself, don't I?
Yes, sir. I understand that, but please don't lose that sense of humor. I think we all love that about you, with as your audience.
It's beautiful coming from you, because I could hear in your accent where you're calling from. Obviously, you're a southerner, and it's very interesting to me that I, as a northern, you know, New York City guy, in origins, could even appeal to somebody from another region like that. But that's a whole different story. I have found that real New Yorkers, as opposed to those who move from another state, have cousins in thought and even an accent in New Orleans and in San Francisco. The real San Francisco, actually, people who are really from San Francisco, the old-timers, sound like me. Would you believe it?
Oh, yes, sir.
There's almost nobody left. Irishmen used to sound like this in San Francisco. They've all been driven out by people who came here from Minnesota.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
People want jobs, but they also want leadership. They want character in a president. In recent days, we have learned that 4 different women have accused you of inappropriate behavior.
Oh, shut up.
Here we're focusing on character and on judgment.
Shut up,
you've been a
CEO. You little hack, you. Ooh, Boo is right.
The American people.
Just shut up. You're a hack for General Electric. Get her off the stage. Now, the good news is that Kane is rolling in dough. No matter how much of these gutter rats come out of the woodwork, no matter how many gutter rats come out of the media woodwork, Kane is rolling in dough. He raised $9 million since October 1st, and 1/4 of that money was raised in the last 10 days since the gutter rats started to attack him. So I say, you know what? Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep trying to rip this decent man apart. What they're trying to do is get a 3-for out of ripping Kane down. They want to destroy a conservative first, a black second, and a Christian Baptist, the third. See, they get a 3-for if they bring him down. That's how evil these people are. They want to bring him down because of those 3 reasons. Conservative, black, Baptist, a real one, as opposed to a fake one with a fake Bible of the type created in Hollywood. Raised $9 million since October 1st, and 1/4 of it since the last 10 days. That's ever since the Soviet Politico report revealed the false charges against him. The Soviet Politico came up with the false charges, and he's been rolling in dough ever since. And that's good. That's good news. Now, Perry, of course, I'm sorry to say, seems to be nullified by what happened yesterday. No matter what says, it's over. The leftists would castrate any politician opposing their New World Order socialist view, no matter how pure the man would be. And so the fact of the matter is, here we are. Look what they're doing to this poor man. So he's going on, and he's a stage four cancer survivor on top. Why am I the only one saying that? Why am I the only man in the media who keeps saying Herman Cain is a stage four cancer survivor? Why is that not an issue? It should be. It just shows you how vicious these rats are, these gutter rats, these harridans like Maria, whatever her name was. I never went for her act anyway. I don't know why I was not a fan of hers. I know I was supposed to like her. She was supposed to be like a gutsy streetwise, you know, from New York. But I always sensed there was something off with her. And now we know what it is. She's just, you know, whatever she is. I'm in a new mood, a nice mood. I don't say anything negative about anybody anymore. Much, not as much. It has to go slowly. It'll come out of me every once in a while, but I'm trying not to. Because otherwise, you know, it's not going to do me any good to keep doing it. Students riot after Penn State fires Paterno. That's a big story, but you don't want to talk about it. I understand. I'll take your calls on these or any other topics. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Sacramento, California. K-Mal, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a longtime listener of your show, sir, for the last 7 years now.
And thank you.
I want to make a comment about Herman Cain because I am black, I'm a conservative, and I'm a Christian. I grew up around people like Herman Cain, and when I see these vicious attacks by the white liberals coming out of him, it just makes me cringe. But let me tell you something. There is some hope, though. There is some hope in the fact that he's rolling on.
Well, yeah, but don't you agree the reason he hasn't cracked from all of this, all of these lies, is because he has faith in God and a loving wife who he really does love? I think that's why he's able to go on.
You're absolutely correct, Dr. Savage, and he's going to keep going on. And I have some hope that he can win. The other folks are done. They're through and finished as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I would say Perry is finished. Romney is looking very, very much stronger every day because Romney's playing the presidential role. He's not attacked Cain when he was given the bait yesterday by the lowlifes from CNBC. He wouldn't take the bait. And so Romney's looking very good. But the Tea Party people, meaning the real conservatives in America, are really not enamored of Romney. But let's go back to Mr. Cain. You agree with me that they're after him, one, because he's a conservative, two, because he's black, and three, because he's a true Christian. Wouldn't you say those are the three reasons?
Dr. Savage, you're absolutely right, because when I was going to school in about 15, 20 years ago in high school and college, I've been around these white liberals, and the people have called me and said I'm an Oreo cookie and tell me that I'm black on the outside and white on the inside. It's just absolutely.
But you see how you're laughing because you have a good sense of humor. You never let it get to you. You don't have the same nasty nature as some of the race hustlers out there who most of us detest. And you had to overcome all of that hazing from your own people, let alone white people who may not have liked you.
Oh, I've got it from both sides, sir. Both sides.
Yeah. Did you hear the caller yesterday who said Herman Cain is not a real black man because he's like a white man? Did you hear that caller by any chance?
I've heard many calls like that, sir.
I could not believe what she was saying. I was saying, what, you mean he has to be an angry, screaming, threatening race hustler to be a real black? That's what I said to her.
He doesn't act like the hustler in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, who's an absolute... he's just an absolute Trojan horse.
I agree. You talk about a man who's hustled his whole life using the race card. It's Barry Obama.
You're absolutely right. And when he hung around people like Dr. Cornel West and Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright, who are all race hustlers in a high Jesse.
Yeah, Cornel West is like a grade Z mentality, who has gotten by with his threats, his intimidation, and that whole buck-tooth thing, you know, always doing that tooth thing on everybody and that yelling and that screaming and scaring the white liberals at Harvard. That guy's a Harvard professor like my poodle is.
You're absolutely right. He's
that's some Harvard professor. All he does is threaten everybody, and every day he's held up as some role model. No, he's not my kind of candidate, by the way, and not, and I mean a candidate for academic distinction.
Right.
Listen, my friend, we are living through very, very strange times, and all I can offer you is what I have written with One From the Heart, Abuse of Power, my thriller. I'm going to send it out to you right now because I hear that the first printing is almost gone. And I really am telling you, if you're going to buy one for the holidays, you're waiting. I know money is tight. You should do it in the next couple of days, I would think. I don't know if they're going to get a second printing out in time. And you're going to want to have the first printing. Because the first printing of Abuse of Power, just think about what that's going to be worth on eBay in the third millennium. Just think about what it's going to be worth in the year 3000. if the paper and the ink are still standing. I'm feeling a little giddy today, and I tell you why. I'm following up with yesterday. I can't go into it in total detail. My agent called me, and he said, they're so in love with you. The publishers are so in love with you. They're begging me to send anything that you have for your next book. So I got to tell you something. I know I'm prolific. I know I've been writing all of my life. I went into another storage bin just yesterday, and I found 10 new novellas that I had written during my lean years when I was still trying to be discovered, long before radio, while I was struggling as a corporate consultant and as a nutrition writer. I was writing amazing things. I couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. I guess I have to tell you how excited I am to find my own work. And so instead of writing something new, I'm going to tell my agent, look, I want to write, I really want to publish the unpublished works of Michael Savage in one volume. They're astounding. Some of them are amazing. I can't. Should I read you the titles? I know many of you would like to hear it. But I'm afraid if I do, someone will steal the titles. Because I'm a genius at titles, and I can't just give them away. I can't give them away on the show. I'd love to. I'm not trying to bait you. I just can't do it. If I read some of these titles, you wouldn't believe how good they are. Look at this. I can't wait to read them myself. What is this? Oh, no. Come on. This is so timely. It's frightening. Wait a minute now. What is this one? Hold on now. I can't get... Wait. Oh, no! Come on! I'm going to read you a line, I swear to God. This is called The Molester, or Innocence the Aphrodisia. This book, this small story or novella was written, I don't even know the year, I can't find the year, but I'm going to read you a line, and then I've got to stop because I'm shocked by what I have here. Are you ready for this? It's about a football player who turns out to be a molester. Or is it about a coach who turns out to be a molester of boys? Yes, and it's a sergeant who's on his trail. How did I write that so many years ago? I don't know. I don't know what it has to do with anything else, but I just can't believe this. Because it's so timely, it's shocking. It's written in the words of a chief inspector who says, I first came into this case when the chief inspector called me to piece together this battered body of that boy you read about, Joey Adams. They found him in pieces, his skull a jigsaw only the demented bastard who took him apart could figure out. It was a sexual abuser who took him. Not your money-sick kidnapper, but the truly sick. The pathologues you pass every day, in the bank, at the supermarket, at the office. The crazy sons of bees who pass for normal are usually the worst mutilators. At least that's been my observation here at the morgue in the lower basement of Buena Vista Hospital. Sergeant, Thursday in the morning, the sergeant bellowed down the stairs, Hal, they've just found another one. Well, there it is. And he's a forensic anthropologist, this cop. The muscles tensed in his jaws and neck, the old footballer getting ready to squash the other player, probably from Stanford. Johnson stamping the good old dirt of Berkeley like a native black bull, which he was. See, it's very good stuff. Written maybe 25 years ago. I have so many unpublished, rejected manuscripts that are exciting to me right now for a number of reasons. Because all of the editors whose rejection letters I have attached to the manuscripts are dead or gone, and I'm still here, I swear to you. All of the editors who rejected me 20 years ago, no one knows them, and they're all dead. And now the people who've taken their jobs are clamoring for my work. I want to live another 20 years. I've got to see this. I've got to see it come out. I'll be right back. I got to stop.
Savage.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
That was America. That was America. How did it become such a warped, twisted sister? Well, that's another book I want to write one day. Four men did it to the country. Three men and one woman destroyed America. I've told you my theory on that. It's alleged that several men changed the course of the last century, and you can pretty much name them. I mean, you could actually pick three men and have your own book written. But I once read a book who said that it was Freud, Marx, and Wagner who changed the 19th century. And I would say that the people who changed America for the worse were four people. And I wouldn't say it's in this order, but they would be Timothy Leary, who introduced drugs, psychedelic drugs, and destroyed the minds of millions and millions of people. He was like the Pied Piper of evil with LSD. He told you that it was harmless when it was perhaps the most dangerous drug ever introduced into the mass psyche. Timothy Leary destroyed the mind through drugs. Combined with him at that time, operating independently but at the same time period in America, was the evil lawyer, Kunstler, the evil, evil, evil ACLU lawyer, Kunstler, who used the civil rights movement as a guise to push forward his own radical leftist agenda, used the black people to push his agenda, always using civil rights as a battering ram to break down society itself. And then there was Allen Ginsberg, one of the most poisonous minds to have inhabited the last century, who was not only a child molester and a lifetime communist, but also a poisoner of minds. Those were three of the most evil men. Someone should write a biography that combines those three minds and shows how they destroyed the country. And then, not to be outdone, would be the woman who pushed the women's movement under the guise of advancing women's rights, but in fact brought us to the point we are today, where any woman can make up a lie about a man and move ahead in society, robbing people by saying he made me uncomfortable. That's already now considered sexual harassment. Now, we all know that true harassment is despicable. We all know that true harassment should be punished to the full extent of the law, but we know how many men have had their lives ruined by fake harridans of the order of the type that's been attacking Herman Cain. So that completes my little side note here on the Savage Nation. New York, WOR, Daniel, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, at the beginning of your show, you asked why people listen to you. Well, I tell you, I've listened to talk radio for years, and I've listened to you for years. You're the only place I can go where you're balanced, you're multifaceted. You give us the truth, and right now, America is in bad, bad shape. And I get inspiration from you. You talk about food, you talk about little Teddy. You're very human, you're ordinary, but then you're extraordinary. You're a man beyond your years, and I just wish and
beautiful. You're like a relative. You're like a relative I wish I had.
I mean, it's just incredible what you do. You inspire me. I work 14, 15-hour days. You pick me up at the end of the day, and you keep me going. You inspire me. I start writing my own stuff at night on how I can be a better
really?
Person.
Really? That's interesting. Let me ask you something. I did a diversion in the last segment about these old stories of mine that I found and I read from one of them. Did you find that distracting, or did you find it was a good part of the show?
Oh, I thought it was refreshing. I still think about when you wrote about Dead Man's Pants, because as a kid, I lived through that. I wore Dead
Man's. Oh, interesting. You know, I told my agent I want to publish all of my unpublished writings in one or two volumes or one big volume, and he said, why? I said, because it will distinguish me from all the other people in the media. None of them have this. They have what they have, okay? I don't have to knock them, but none of them have this. None of them was a writer for 25 years, and none of them have the range of my interests and my abilities. And I said, that's the only way to distinguish myself. I don't want to do just another this or another that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're courageous on top of that, where nobody else is courageous. You don't worry about anything. You just forge ahead with your own...
Well, I am... You see, this is not true. I do worry about it. I worry greatly about the evils of people in the government and what they might do to me. I do. But there's nothing I can do about it.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Now, look at all of these political topics we've been talking about and how I have now skipped a beat and fallen into my old stories. Pictures are falling out from 20, 25 years ago that have something to do with politics, and I have to bring one of them up now. I must tell you, I just brought a lot of them into the studio, and we'll get back to the politics as usual in a minute. Here is a statue, a sculpture that I've carried in my mental faculties, in my mental valise my whole life. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It's still there. It's white marble, and it's by Carpeaux, who was a French artist, 1827 to 1875, and he did this thing called Uglione and His Sons. What is it? It's from the Divine Comedy. And it shows a former count who made one mistake, Uglione della Gherardexa. I don't know if that's exactly right. But it shows his sons and his grandsons all naked and dying of starvation because of something he did to insult the count in his time. He was, remember, a high-flying aristocrat. And then he did something to fall out of favor with the power structure. And this sculpting shows him gnawing at his own cheek, very gaunt, very thin, sitting nakedly on a stool. His son is holding on to his legs, looking up at his eyes. His grandson is begging him for some food, and they're all chained. Uglione and His Sons. If you're in New York City, if it's still there, it's astounding. So why did it strike me at the time, and what does it have to do with today's politics? Well, take a look at what just happened to Coach Paterno. The man has lost everything overnight. And it goes back to a religious precept that I shared with you on this show many years ago, where the ancient Jewish scribes wrote, one of them wrote, that a man could spend his entire life building up his reputation and with one mistake lose it all overnight. What happened to Paterno is an example of what could happen to any of us at any moment. Nothing is assured. I don't care how rock solid your life is yesterday. We don't know what it's going to be tomorrow, right? Now, what is true for the individual is also true for the nation. And you know where I'm going to go with this. How one leader can make a nation or one leader can destroy a nation. How one leader can save a platoon under fire in combat and one leader can run from the fire and the whole platoon can be wiped out. How an officer in the most horrible districts of the worst city in America, in the narcotics division, can have a partner that's rock solid that'll be his back. And they can get through a firefight, or you can get somebody put in there for political reasons who'll turn her back or his back and leave you stranded. You wind up with a bullet in your face. So as I say to you, there's politics in a flea. But for me, Ugolino and His Sons is symbolic of what could happen to a man or a nation. An incredible piece of art. But this is what's so great about great art. Great art can be universal in almost any story. You can be entered into any story. I guess what I just said to you can be put into my next novel. Jack Hatfield's next adventures are being written as we speak. Because of the making of many books, there is no end, and life is finite. We have a short dance in the sun, and it's over. And each night it becomes more apparent to me that the dance is coming to an end. When, we don't know. Does anyone listening to the show know? Does anyone listening to this show know when their end will be? Do you know? I don't know. So here we are again. I mean, there's a lot of this doom and gloom hanging over the horizon, personally and socially and economically and nationally. It's as though America is being taken apart by the day. I listen to these debates in part. I don't really listen to them in their totality. And I'm left limp because the moderators are all liberal moderators. They're all put up there by General Electric or CNN or one of the other front organizations for the government media complex, the New World Order, if you want to put it in that context. They never ask the real questions. Like a real question would be, what would you do to stop the flood of illegal immigrants in America? How would you make certain that only citizens vote in the next election? I mean, to me, that would be the first question. You got to ask yourself, why is it that the Democrats refuse to permit any state that passes a voter ID law to actually enact it? Because the Democrat Party is not a party of the American people. It's a party of the foreigner, the illegal foreigner at that. It's a party of the special interest, et cetera. Let's go down the line. The Democrats could never survive. You listen to me carefully. You listen to me carefully. If we had true voter ID in this country between now and 2012, Obama would lose by 30 points because the real American would never vote for him again after seeing what he did to this country. Never. And so, therefore, they fight any state that tries to impose their own sovereignty upon their own affairs. They attack one estate after another that tries to pass voter ID. They come up with all cockamamie lawyer stuff that it will deter people from the polls. Of course it will deter people from the polls. Those who aren't citizens will be deterred from the polls, as they should be. They should not only be deterred, they should be deported. So if what I'm saying to you is this. If the Democrats ever had to face the average American working class voter, they would lose by a landslide, the greatest loss in history. Why? Because the Republicans are so great? No, but because the Democrats are so bad. That's why. So to put it in the context of the only two parties we really have, irrespective of the fact that I'd like to see a real third party, which I will not see in my lifetime, this is the truth and the reality of it all, in my opinion. The Democrats, in other words, rely upon the illegal alien voter to swing the votes in the states that they know they could never win otherwise. Arizona, let's go to the callers. Arizona, Brad, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I've been listening to you on and off for about 3 years, and I find myself easily accepting the things that you talk about, but then sometimes I find myself just screaming at the radio that I don't understand what you're saying or I don't agree with it. Earlier you made a comment about police officers, and I myself, I'm a police officer, been so for about 4 years. You made some comments about how they themselves are much like the people they arrest, but they just control themselves.
Well, hold it. No. I didn't say that. What I said was they have to have the same degree of violence within themselves in order to face the truly violent. In other words, to take down a truly violent ex-con, you can't be Mr. Rogers or Mr. Peepers as a cop, can you?
No, not at all.
No, you have to be just as tough and just as mean is what I'm saying. But you are the Irish wolfhound as opposed to the wolf.
Gotcha. Okay.
You see? In other words, that was a compliment. I'm saying the real cop has to be courageous and tough to protect we the sheep.
Okay. All right. I agree with that. One thing I was thinking about, though, is I have arrested several child molesters. And during the investigation and the issues that I've come across through that time, I have felt myself being so angry to the point that I wanted to take justice in my own hands.
Oh, so you agree with me. I said, I don't know how anybody could be a cop. You arrest a child molester like this, what's going on, you'd want to kill him. You'd want to take him in a back room and break every bone in his body.
Exactly. And even cop killers. We had a cop killed in my area a couple years ago. And we caught the guy. It wasn't me, but my partners had to have some sergeants and lieutenants ride in the elevator with the guy just to make sure everything went okay.
I'm going to show you a story that is probably one of the greatest travesties of justice in your lifetime, and it's going on right now. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com, and Liz, a story that you must, before it's dropped. There's a Border Patrol agent who arrested a marijuana smuggler, a known smuggler. He had been arrested several times. This Border Patrol agent, who was a Hispanic, by the way, arrested this dope smuggler who fought with him, and he pinned the guy's arms behind his back. Okay, the Border Patrol agent. They took the Border Patrol agent to jail, to a court, and he lost the battle. They said that he brutalized the marijuana smuggler. Listen to me. The Border Patrol's agent is Jesus E. Diaz Jr. The Justice Department destroyed this man. And now the Justice Department, under this Eric Holder, is suing the family of the Border Patrol agent who they jailed for a fine that they levied upon him, even though the judge said that there would be a grace period. They're trying to destroy the family. Now, I ask you what kind of country are we living in when Eric Holder takes the side of a drug smuggler over a border agent, and the border agent is thrown in jail, and then the Justice Department goes after the family of the jailed Border Patrol agent. Wait, and the dope smuggler is released.
Yeah.
This is the world you want to live in? I don't want to live in this country. I don't want to live in a country where we have criminals in the Justice Department who would do this to a Border Patrol agent with impunity. How could they get away with this?
Really horrible, Michael, is we have literally seconds to make that decision on what we're going to do, and if we make the wrong decision, we could get killed.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. The Border Patrol agent, Jesus E. Diaz Jr., was arresting a dope smuggler on the border, The dope smuggler put up a fight. He put his foot on the guy and he pinned his arms behind him, as you would have to do to control a violent young punk. And they found a DA, I think in Texas, to go after the Border Patrol agent. They put him in jail and they released the dope smuggler. And now Eric Holder is suing the family, trying to collect a $6,800 fine from his wife. Now, I ask you, which side is this government on? You know which side they're on. They're on the side of the illegal alien, the dope smuggler, you name it. They are not on the side of the American people. And I don't know how any cop listening to the show could ever vote for this guy again. I don't understand it.
I agree.
Anyway, I rest my case. If you think I'm making up this story, please go to michaelsavage.com. I got it from the Washington Times the other day. Government fines jailed Border Patrol agent's family. And one representative is trying to do something about it. Duncan Hunter of California, a Republican, sent a letter to the great Attorney General Eric Holder asking that the fine be canceled. Nothing about Mr. Diaz, though, being in jail. Not that he should be taken out of jail. I've never seen anything like this. How could they do this to an officer? This is a completely out-of-control government that has turned on the police, turned on the people, turned on the government itself, turned on the government. This administration, this regime, has turned on its own governmental agencies. If they're arresting a Border Patrol agent who did his job against a dope smuggler, which side is this government on? Tell me. I'll be back.
Savage.
Well, I guess tomorrow there'll be a new shock allegation against Herman Cain. He'll raise another $9 million. Some bimbo will come forward and say that he touched her compendium without even knowing what the word is.
Yes, 19 years ago, I was in college and Mr. Cain spoke and he touched my compendium.
Florida, Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, what's up? I listen to you all the time, even though I'm a liberal.
Okay, so what? Tell me what you're calling about.
Well, basically, I wanted to say that Cain's not presidential material. I don't see how you can say it has anything to do with him being black, why they're attacking him. You gave three reasons. The other two I buy. I don't understand they want to attack him because he's black reason, because you're the one that said the government...
Well, wait, so let's start from the top. You could accept that his enemies want to attack him because he's a conservative, right? We agree that that's a possibility?
Yeah.
Okay, no, let's be rational together. You also agree they could be attacking him because he's such a Christian conservative, like a Baptist preacher, which he is on the side. So we agree on that. But you're saying they could not be attacking him because he's black. Why would you think that that's not possible?
Well, because the way the world is now, and the as you've said in the past, it's almost like you can't criticize a black person in today's society because we're so afraid of the equal opportunity and...
Wait, but the reason they're attacking him so viciously is because he would neutralize Obama's one calling card. Obama has one calling card into the black community, and that's his race. He has done nothing for the black community. Obama's done nothing for the black community, and the black community votes 95% Democrat, no matter what happens, right? So Obama is relying upon that base to vote for him again. What would happen if you had a black man as a Republican? Is that vote might 30% might be peeled off for Cain? That would be a disaster because Obama's going to be skating on a very thin ice against in this election anyway. And if he lost 30% of the black base, he's finished. He's toast.
But Michelle's come up with a great nutrition plan for the black youth. That's something they've done.
I know. You're pulling my leg now, right?
No.
I don't understand. You're saying that this is seriously now?
Well, yeah, the nutrition plan she's come up with for young black Americans to stop eating greasy fried food and eat more fruit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that she leads by example.
Well, certain parties, you have to eat what's there. You have to be extravagant, right?
Yeah, right. Where every party she goes to and the cooking show where the host said she never saw anyone eat as much. But let's not get devolved into Michelle's habits. She's not the president. She's the first lady. So what's your next point? Is that Cain is what?
He's if you look at what he proposed on the 999 plan, that would actually raise taxes for people like me, like middle-class working citizens. So it
Well, it should, because you're not paying your fair share. It should raise your taxes.
What do you mean I'm not paying my fair share?
Well, you're outraged. You do know that the 53% of us pay most of all of the taxes. You probably pay very low taxes.
Well, I don't want them raised.
Well, okay, of course you don't want them raised, but you want them raised on a guy like me.
No, actually, I don't agree with that. That's the one thing that I don't agree with. I don't think someone should have to pay for everyone just because they made more money and were more...
Well, okay, so you may not be acceptable to your own liberal cohorts. If they ever heard you say that, you probably wouldn't be invited to any more parties.
Like my father, who I get into it with.
Why? Is he conservative or liberal?
Oh, liberal, all the way.
Oh, so he's a throwback old-school ILGW left-winger?
Well, he's a teacher.
Oh, my God, you said it all.
Oh. Well,
all it's missing is the red beret at night.
Right. Well, I mean...
hey, wait a minute. Why don't you bring him a gift for Thanksgiving? Bring him a red beret and the complete works of Lenin.
He's a big history buff, so I'm sure he'd enjoy that.
But. Yeah, well, if he's a history buff, he would love to read the biography of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin.
I listen to you all the time. Me and him argue about your show all the time. The funniest thing you've ever said is when you were walking down San Francisco, the main street, the pizza looked like they had yellow mice in it. I almost drove off the road.
Wait. What do you mean the pizza had yellow mice in it? When did I say that? Years ago? I don't remember that.
No. It was like a few months ago. You were talking about how you're walking down the street and you look in the window at the restaurants they have on the pier there or whatever San Francisco.
They have the old dried out pizza there.
Yeah, and you said it looked like it had yellow mice in it. I almost lost it.
What it reminds me of? When I was a boy, I used to go to Manhattan Midtown with my friends. We'd jump on the subway and go down there. They used to have pizza stands, the worst, in the subway, like at Times Square. You know, that kind of old, like dried out pizza they would sell to like some geek who just came in from the Port Authority bus terminal and didn't even know what pizza should be like?
Right. Well, hey, you know what else? I'm 20 minutes north of Boca. Your second
home, right? Oh, God bless you. How do you survive that? That's the rehab capital of America.
The rudest people I've ever seen in my life. I grew up.
Oh, don't get me started. I've never seen anything like that. What is that about all those liberals down there?
Well, I mean, they don't say hello. They don't get out of your way.
No, mean. And they vote in two. Yeah. They vote twice. They vote in Brooklyn or Queens, and they vote in Boca. How do they get away with voting twice?
I don't know, but everything was better in New York to them, and they won't let you forget it, but they won't go back there.
Why is their health so bad?
I don't know.
Why do they love Florida so much? Because the benefits are so great. The free medical care, you know, all these doctors for nothing in Florida. They never had it so good. Let me ask you something. Truthfully, I can already hear that you're different than your father. He's a dyed-in-the-wool red diaper. He's actually a red diaper baby, but you're a red diaper doper baby. You're not sure you want to be there anymore.
Well, I voted for Obama. I believed in his message. But to tell you the truth, I don't know that one man can turn this around anymore.
Well, okay, I said as much myself. Would you vote for Romney?
I don't like him.
Why? Give me the gut answer. Come on. 20 seconds. What don't you like about Romney?
I think he's gunning for the job because he wants the job. I don't think he has America's interests at heart. He has a temper.
Wait. You mean Obama has America's interests at heart?
Well,
think about that one. They're off to Bali, by the way, the first couple. Another vacation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the news is frightening out there, really frightening. The Penn State football scandal now, I mean, I don't know whether it's true, but local hosts in his area claim or say there's a rumor that Jerry Sandusky may have, I don't even have the words for it, pimped out young boys to donors. I can't believe this. There was the CNBC GOP presidential debate where Maria Tartiromo got booed when she tried to entrap Herman Cain in the sexual abuse scandal. They finally caught on to Maria Tartiromo. Anything from MSNBC or NBC or CNBC is more or less suspect. And there are some good people in there, but boy, I wouldn't want to work for that group. Occupy Portland, getting violent and out of control. Molotov cocktail was thrown at the World Trade Center, and police think someone from the protest did it. No kidding. News crews harassed. Crime is up 20%. Stolen property in the camp. But, of course, the cowardly mayor of Portland has nothing to say. Then TB broke out in the Atlanta Occupy. TB breaks out at Occupy Atlanta's base. Can you believe this? The home base for Occupy Atlanta has tested positive for TB. Isn't that interesting? It just shows you that these idiots have no idea what they can spread contagion yet. They can spread contagion. Unbelievable stories. Penn State or State Penn scandal. Joe Paterno has been fired. The students riot. They turn over a news truck. What were they saying by doing that? The mob was saying that the news media crucified Joe Paterno in an illegitimate manner. There was no evidence that he was involved in the abuse or the cover-up at all. And the media crucified a good man. So the mob turned on the media. Now a website read by millions of people every day is running a story saying that, based on reporting by an unknown reporter, the coaches of the university may have pimped out boys to donors. I don't know. This is unbelievable. I don't know where this is coming from, but it's not something I can't even talk about at this time. Let's talk about the Republican debate last night. Why are the Republicans continuing to have this many debates in front of this many liberal moderators? They're committing suicide in front of the American public. So now we have Perry going blank in front of the world. He can't even remember the name of the department that he would eliminate.
I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
You need five.
Oh, five. Okay. So commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's talk deposition.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. Oh, I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
So what are the Republicans trying to show the world? That they're incompetent? That they're stupid? And who wins from all of this? Obviously, Obama comes out shining. The Republicans are doing this, in my opinion, on purpose. Why? To make sure it's Romney versus Obama, and Obama wins. The smart money would say Obama wins again for two reasons. One, the whole illegal community will vote for Obama, and there's no controls over them, no voter ID laws in place. Number two, the Tea Party will not come out in huge numbers for Romney. They're not excited by him because of his liberal social policies and his Romney care. So it looks to me like the fix is in. It's all over, clearly going in that direction again. The smart money would say it's Obama term two, and thanks to that, we have a mini Chavez in our hands. At least that's how one man sees it.
Mitch McConnell is the one who has had his foot on the neck of this country's economy, and the polls are now showing that Americans understand that Republicans are willing to sacrifice the health of our economy to have political advantage.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199. AmericaIsRising.com. And now on to MichaelSavage.com. MichaelSavage.com, the only site you need for all the news of the nation and the world. If only I could find it. Here it is. MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, culture. That's what I stand for. Students riot as coach president forced out. Crowd booed when Kane was asked about allegations. An investigator says Kane is innocent of sexual advances. He says his $15,000 software can detect lies. Ex-Israeli president to serve 7 years for rape. Penn State scandal could get much worse. It's frightening. Perry blanks during debate. London Daily Mail says Israel may launch strike on Iran as soon as next month. Five nabbed in U.S. deaths linked to Mexican Zetas. Government fines. The government is now harassing the family of a jailed Border Patrol agent. The agent was jailed because he roughed up a dope smuggler. They put the Border Patrol agent in jail for squeezing his arms. Now they're fining the family. Something is wrong with this picture. You want to see a crazy story? Lawsuit against parents of teen who shot intruder calls them negligent. Someone broke into their Miami home to steal a wave runner. The kid came out and shot him with a shotgun and killed him. And now the parents of the person who was robbing the wave runner are suing the parents of the kid who shot him with a shotgun. Young women nabbed in bloody satanic sex ritual. Take a look at these two faces of evil. They stabbed and slashed the man 300 times during a two-day torture section. Bali for Barry and the missus. They're on another trip. Well, they work hard. Savage reads from Abuse of Power. If you want to see my handsome face, you can. Occupy in New York plagued by reports of sex attacks, MTB. Emails prove that Biden's office was orgasmic over the Solyndra deal. Democrats rush repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act. They may please the base, but the bill likely won't get very far because most Americans oppose repealing it. They're for it. Hello? This just into the Savage Nation. Reggie is out. Reggie Love is out. Who is Reggie Love? Reggie Love is Obama's shadow. You've never seen him, but he's been there, well, from day one. Apparently Michelle doesn't like Reggie Love backing up the president. All this and more on Abuse of Power's website, MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
Now, I believe Freud's theories about sex are as relevant as ever, and so although some of them have undergone revision, many current psychologists think that the founder of psychoanalysis was completely wrong about everything, he had everything backwards, and they've tried to undo what he did. It's part of the deconstruction of Western civilization, by the way. By bringing down Freud's theories, so they think, they can bring down and collapse all of Western civilization and completely turn civilization on its head. There are certain things you can't change, and you cannot take a giant and turn him into a Lilliputian, particularly if you yourself are a Lilliputian and not a giant. The fact of the matter is, sexuality has a central place in our psyche. So you say, well, okay, I don't want a college lecture today on the Savage Nation. I've heard all this, or I haven't. I'm not interested. Talk instead about Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum. I don't want to do it. I mean, I am so bored of politics right now. You know, what'll be will be. Whoever runs will run. When the election comes around, I'll talk about it, right? I'm not going to talk about these, you know, who's going to run now. I mean, I'm not on Fox News where that's my bread and butter. I think that I would rather talk about something positive, which is if you're driven by sexual thoughts or urges, how have you sublimated them into something positive? I think that's what's important to think about, not whether you're sick, okay, but how have you channeled your hypersexuality, so to speak, into something positive. Okay? That's an important discussion. Because I would argue that all of civilization is built upon sexual energy, if you want to take it from a strictly... I am probably strictly, from a psychological point of view, a Freudian in that regard, even though I'm not a therapist at all. I never pretended to be, nor do I want to be. But if you were to ask me, what school of psychology, Savage, do you follow, it would be Freudianism. because he was a giant. He was the founder of psychoanalysis. But even he had his limitations, and he acknowledged it. Even he once said, if I remember correctly, that not everything was about sex. And he once commented, you know, he said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Okay, so let's not get carried away. You know what I'm saying? He understood that there was a limitation even to his theories. Now, I know many of you don't agree with Freudianism, but that's really not what the show is about right now. It's how do you use the energy, your sexual energy. New York City, WOR, Nando, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you know, I'm a psychologist in New York City, and I agree with you that Freud was a giant in a lot of ways, but he did get some things backwards. For example, he assumed that the disturbance was sex-based. But a lot of people get disturbed first and foremost about other things like ego, their status, their anger, their rage, and then they employ all kinds of methods to...
Well, let me see. I'm not here to dispute better. You because you... Hold it. I'm not going to dispute because you know more about it than I do, but I want to see if I can follow your ideas. You said that the anger and the rage control them, but what drives the anger and rage is what I'm interested in.
I think... From a modern cognitive behavioral point of view, it's the stuff they tell themselves. You know, you and I can look at the same situation, and we tell ourselves different things. If your premise is one of, let's say, an unconstrained vision, you're more liberal. If you have more of a constrained, tragic view, you're more conservative. So both of us can look at the
Wait a minute, I like it. That was pretty glib of you. Wait, yeah. I want to hear that again. Let me hear that again. That was beautiful. Let me hear it again and see if I agree with it.
Well, this is a theory that's been out there, I guess, for like sort of a dozen years or so, which is that some of us have sort of a tragic view of life, which is that there are constraints on the world, you can't have everything you want, and those people tend to become conservative.
Hold on, let me think about that. I have that viewpoint, but I don't think that's why I'm a conservative. But okay, now give me the liberal viewpoint.
That's one factor. But then another factor is if you believe I can have it all, in fact, I deserve it all, and somebody should provide it, otherwise the world is wrong and unfair towards me, then you tend to become more liberal.
You mean that the world owes you a living, in other words?
Yeah. Right. Now, that's
all right.
But I would
just add to this, since we're getting into the strictly political, that I was speaking with a boatsmith today, a man who came out and fixed some wood on my boat today. He's an expert in mechanics. And we were working together. I mean, I was watching him. He was taking out broken screws and fixing a broken rail. And he's a businessman. And he said to me, every businessman he knows on the Sausalito waterfront is ultimately a conservative politically because they don't like hyper-regulation and they hate high taxation. And they all love my show, is what he was saying. So in other words, even though they live in this liberal area of San Francisco and they work on the Sausalito waterfront in the boat industry, anyone in business recognizes that big government is against them. I don't think that has anything to do with emotions or sexuality.
But that's right. And people can get disturbed and then use sexuality. But even there, you know, if you have a moral view, which is everyone should be equal, then you're going to view injustice as anything that makes more money for one.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe everyone can be equal.
Right.
All we have to do is look at a basketball game and understand that there are some people who are better at basketball than others.
Right. Well,
okay, and then I apply that to every sphere of the world. You're not going to take everyone and turn them into a nuclear physicist, for example, or a surgeon. That's absurd. That's absolutely the communist point of view. And you know that went on in communist China after the revolution, which is what scares the heck out of me and makes me sick when I listen to these unrequited leftists who tell me that every moron in America can become a brain surgeon if only they were given the chance. That's utter nonsense.
I agree with you. In fact, that's called the moralistic fallacy, that because I might be disadvantaged in some way, it's wrong, and therefore it isn't so. That's really a fallacy that says that if it's wrong, it isn't so, and that doesn't follow.
Well, you're a psychologist, and I have sympathy for educated people in this field, but I want to ask you, you said Freud had it backwards. Tell me how he had it backwards.
Well, he had it half right in that sex, really, not sex evolved to get our genes into the next generation. So in that sense, he was correct. But he said that he made these fixed rules about these stages that you have to go through, and that if you didn't properly go through these stages, then you'd be messed up in life and have a...
Oh, what, the oral, the anal, the phallic, et cetera? Yeah, that whole theory?
I think he made all that up. And but the reality is that when people get disturbed of various sorts because they put themselves down, or they put others down, or they put the world down, they get enraged, or they get grandiose, then they're so upset that they use different means to appease themselves, whether it's more regulation or hurting others or...
But what about in Freud's view that sexuality as the causation of all neurosis? Would you agree with some of that, or all of it, or none of it?
I think you got to be very careful. I mean, obviously, sex is important in the sense that it motivates a lot of what we do. Now, a lot of that is unconscious. He was correct about that, because let's say if I study painting or something, I'm not consciously thinking that this is going to get me laid. On the other hand, it might help me get that.
Well, what do you think people go to museums for?
Yeah, right. So
I'm joking. But how many people that are in museums are there to meet somebody? You have to ask yourself. You think everyone's there just to look at the paintings and the sculptings? I would think a lot of people are going there to meet sophisticated people looking at paintings and sculptings. Yeah. In addition to looking at the art, they're pretending they're only looking at the painting, but maybe through the corner of their eye and the corner of their mind, they're hoping to meet somebody like themselves. Somebody else who appreciates fine art.
Savage.
It's not the private marketplace that created this mess. What created this mess is your government, which has demanded for years that everybody be in a home. And we've made it as easy as possible for people to be in homes. All the marketplace does is respond to what the government does. The government sets the rules. Don't blame banks and don't blame the marketplace for the mess we're in right now. I am tired of hearing that crap.
Fighting the situation, taking in
there are
money
all,
out to people they know they couldn't
there
afford
There are
it.
Already mechanisms
you
in place.
Me,
no, you know what? Because this pisses me off. Too many people don't listen. There are already mechanisms in place to do that. Are they doing their job? No. But what do you want to do? You want to bombard them with more regulations? More government?
No,
government screwed this problem up. What do you want? Well, you know what you've got?
Because
you,
honestly,
know, you know what you've got?
Banks,
you got Dodd-Frank.
The banks
you got Dodd-Frank now that's tying everybody's hands. You wanted more reform, more regulation? That's what you got. John, do you want more regulation? Is that what you want? Do you want Dodd-Frank?
What?
Is that what you want?
What did I say back at Joe's barbershop?
I need more coffee. It's
no,
so
I think you had too
it's
much.
So freaking easy.
That was Illinois freshman Republican Congressman Joe Walsh at an event with his constituents, freaking out. Does he regret it? Well, he said the right things. And what does he think of what's going on with the Occupy movement, the GOP field in Iran? Joining us right now to talk about all of that and much more is the congressman himself, Joe Walsh. Congressman Walsh, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I'm a big fan. It's great to be with you.
So first explain your passionate expression, which they call an outburst.
Hey, I made a pledge from the moment I got elected that I'd be the most successful member of Congress on the planet. We've had about 90-some town halls, and we started something right after I got elected called Have a Cup of Joe with Joe. Every weekend, I show up at a coffee shop or a restaurant in the district. Anybody can come in and talk to me, ask me any questions, give me any thoughts. These are usually really lively, engaging affairs. We'll get 10, 20, 30, 40 people together. And they're usually, again, very spirited. This one, you know, clearly I'd had a little bit too much coffee, probably going on an empty stomach. I think this was at noon on a Sunday. So I got a little more fired up than usual. But, again, anybody who knows me knows how passionate I am. And if you've been to one of my town halls, you know that I encourage people who don't agree with me to talk about issues and to let me know what's on their mind. So even though I got a little angry at this one, this isn't, you know, this is pretty par for the course as far as some engaging interactions with constituents.
Congressman, give us your thoughts on the socialists across the country that are a distinct part of the so-called Occupy movement? And who do you think they should really be protesting in jail?
No, I just, and this is part of what set me off at this last cup of Joe. I'm so tired of this refrain that it's the private marketplace, you know, the big banks or whoever you want to pick that got us into this mess. And that's what too many of these folks at Occupy Wall Street are saying as well. Not clearly. This Occupy Wall Street stuff, this is a well-orchestrated, well-planned, well-funded by the liberals effort to, I think, disrupt American commerce next year and gin up Obama's base. And I think the White House's hands are all over this. They're encouraging it. Government got us into this mess. Government meddling. Government, year after year, for a number of years, basically forcing lenders to give money to people who probably had no business being in homes, but our government, for some reason, said everybody should own a home. And that type of policy, that type of government meddling got us into this mess. And now we crash. And what do the Occupy Wall Street folks advocate? More government involvement, which is just going to send us down the same crazy path.
What do you think of the recent executive orders given by President Obama?
It's amazing to me. He's been campaigning, I think, full-time for the last year. I don't take him seriously. I think a lot of folks don't as well. He's almost irrelevant in Washington because all he does is campaign. So now he's out there because he can't get even Democrats in Washington to take his potential jobs plan seriously. He's going to go out there and circumvent the Constitution, work around Congress by executive order to basically give away taxpayer goodies to certain constituency groups to try to get their votes. I mean, he's going to try to bail out homeowners again. He offered, you know, a nice giveaway a couple weeks ago that will forgive student loans. Everything is so upside down with this president. He's absolutely stuck a knife in the heart of American fairness. It used to be that if you worked hard, you were rewarded. If you played by the rules, you were rewarded. If you succeeded, you were rewarded. Now we reward people who are out of work. We reward people who are underwater on their mortgage. We reward people who are behind on their student loans. And the rest of America picks up their tab. It's crazy, and it's not fair.
How perilous is the situation with Iran? And what do you think President Obama will do? And what should the president do in regards to Iran?
Look, Iran, like our other enemies around the world, have been emboldened with this gentleman in the White House. President Obama has displayed generally such weakness. He's had such a reticence to embody American strength and American exceptionalism that our enemies around the world are taking advantage of it. Iran is no different. They fundamentally do not believe that this president will deal strongly with them. We're seeing the same thing in the Middle East. This is our first president who simply is not pro-Israel. I mean, think about how frightening that is. Most of our presidents at least try to be an honest broker between two sides, the Palestinians and Israel, which I think is a flawed paradigm to begin with. But this president doesn't even think at trying to be an honest broker. He's not with Israel. He's emboldened our enemies. What we need to do with the Palestinians, what we need to do with Iran, is let these folks know that there will be real consequences for their actions. And the closer Iran gets to a nuclear weapon, they need to know America will act. And they also need to know that Israel will act and America will be with Israel with everything we've got if they need to respond militarily to the Iranian threat.
Congressman, give us your thinking on this GOP field. Are there any candidates or a candidate you think who can really turn this economy around? Is it Romney?
Look, in many ways, thank God President Obama was elected 3 years ago because he really helped wake up the American people. We've been asleep, and we've let our freedoms go, and we've let this government get too big, running from day one to increase government and bankrupt future generations. He woke us all up. I'll tell you what, job one is to get him out of the White House. I mean, I haven't endorsed any Republican. Any of the Republicans up there are better and preferable to who's in the White House right now. I think that when this process is done, in a month or two or three or longer, we'll have a decent nominee. And I think every aspect of the opposition, the Tea Party movement, all kinds of Republicans are going to be locked in unison on their goal to beat President Obama. Again, I don't have a favorite in the race right now. I just think any of them. Right now, it's we have got to get this president out of the White House. Every single day he's in the White House, he's destroying what makes this country great.
Congressman Walsh, thanks again for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, great to be with you. I'd love to do it again. Thanks.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Is it better for the president if the super committee fails?
It's just nonsense. The fact of the matter is, nothing would delight this president more than the opportunity, or rather than that Congress deprived him of the opportunity to run against the do-nothing Congress.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. And I worked my way through college as primarily as a busboy. I don't even think I worked my way up to being a waiter. That was so, like, beyond me. I was a busboy in the Catskill Mountains, worked 16, 18-hour days. You made $100, $110 a week. Over 10 weeks, you made $1,000, $1,200, $1,300. In those days, that paid your tuition for the whole year if you went to a city or a state college. And that's what we did. That's all. We didn't ask for a government handout. We didn't go crying about racism. We didn't go beg anybody to go shake anyone down for a buck. You did what you had to do and you went to college. That's if you had the brains and the drive. If you didn't, you didn't have to go to college. What'd you have to go for? Go take a job. I knew a guy who didn't go to college. He was actually considered stupid. And he didn't go to college, but listen to how it wound up. He was like a shame in the neighborhood. I forget his name, Marty, I think. I hope you're not listening, Marty. I'll get a lawsuit yet. He worked at a gas station. Everybody else, doctor, dentist, lawyer, this, that, accountant, if you couldn't do those things, if not a comedian, anything lower. So he couldn't go to college. He was like dumb. He worked as a gas, pumping gas in a local gas station. I liked the kid. We got along great. He was a nice guy. He always had greasy fingers and... You know, you get under the car with the jack and the lift. We got along. I leave town after college. I go away. I work for my degrees. About 5-8 years after I leave New York, and I think I'm in this. I'm saving the world with my research and this and that. I inquire about Marty. Marty went to Florida before the real estate boom, started investing in property, became like a zillionaire, and had like 8 Rolls Royces. So, I mean, if you how do you add these things up? I mean, that's what you want. He did it. So who was smart? Well, Marty was smart. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to make money. That's all. I was stupid, actually. I thought I could save the world. Look how I wound up. Best-selling books, famous broadcaster and band in England. So you have to add it up, I mean, whichever way you want to do it. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. So that brings us back to the Catskill Mountains and death plots. When I say death plots, I did that specifically to get the government agents listening more carefully. I realize that they're listening to me on a regular basis while watching pornography on their computers at government expense. So when I say death plots, I figure now they'll start to listen to me. I don't mean what you're thinking. I'm talking about Europeans who came over here in my father's generation had burial plots when they got here. The day they got here, they knew they were going to be buried. And most people that I know... And we're talking about people already who are mature already. Let's put it to you this way. If you were to put a dividing line through your life, most of them are way past the midline. Okay, let's put it to you that way. They don't know whether it's months, weeks, years. And let's say it's not minutes. But it's already way past the midline. And they still don't know whether they're going to be buried or cremated, above ground, below ground. They have no idea what to do with the remains. They don't know who should come into the house and go through the belongings. Nobody in my generation wants to make that decision. In many ways, my father's generation was far more, they were far more courageous. They knew already. They accepted their mortality, maybe because they were Europeans. You just say burial, people turn the show right off. They wanted to, Justin Bieber, Cyrus Miley, Myra Siley, Bel Air, houses, cars, skirts, drugs, alcohol, anything but facing the fact that they're mortal. Because they all think that most Americans today live in such a dreamland. They were raised in such a dreamland. They don't have their roots in the old world. They're not the children of immigrants as I am, nor are they immigrants themselves. So they were raised in a fantasy world with everything handed to them. Irrespective of whether they were wealthy, they were spoiled. They were put on drugs very young in life, and then they took recreational drugs, and they're terrified of reality. So consequently, they don't even want to think about the fact that they're mortal, and they think that they've broken free of the zoological order. Most people in America today who are born here believe that they are in some way separate from the zoological order. They think they broke free of the zoological order and they're not made of the same stuff as a chicken. Okay? I mean, I say chicken because it could have been any animal. I didn't want to say pig because I didn't want to offend people of a certain religious orientation, so I said chicken. A chicken is not banned by any country on earth. It's a strange thing. Look how the pig is banned by Orthodox Jews, then the Muslims copied that. They don't eat it either, but look how the Chinese love it. Go figure that one out. I mean, if a billion people like pork, how bad could it be? See, this is the one good thing you got to understand why Islam will never take over the world. It's all to do with the Chinese love for pork. See, you got to understand this. They wouldn't fight for the survival of their country, but they'd fight for their right to eat fried pork, roast pork. Which brings us back to the Catskill Mountains. Because there was a place in the Catskill Mountains that was famous for serving roast pork on garlic bread, which we, the busboys and waiters, would eat around midnight. Because the people who went to the hotels ate the worst food on earth. We figured we had to better them. So instead of eating the food that they served in the hotel, after we got off duty at midnight, I think we'd go to the town. I don't remember the town, but there was one guy made a fortune. Because this is a very funny thing. He served roast pork on garlic bread. It became such a hit. Such a gigantic hit. And most of the people who liked it the most are dead today as a result of heart attacks. Little did they know that they were clogging their arteries. But that's a separate story because many of them became cardiologists. They thought they were immune. It's like guys who specialize in a certain disease often die of it. That's something I discovered in graduate school. The first time I saw that people who are obsessed with certain diseases actually, I think on a higher level, die of them. They have an intuitive knowledge that that's what they're going to die from. They go in the field. So it's an interesting phenomenon. I remember when I was first in graduate school in pharmacology, I had an SOB for a department chairman. I'm glad he died young. I'll be honest with you. He got what he deserved, and he died a horrible death. I'm not saying I'm glad that happened, but on the other hand, when it happened, I was not unhappy. Let's put it to you that he was such a miserable, evil man. Did I tell you that story? I had no money. I had a very, very tiny $300 a month I forget what fellowship it was to go to, like, for a year to study for a master's degree. So I'm working in this guy's laboratory, and he says to me, all right, your job is going to be to kill mice that we're experimenting on. You're going to take a thing, and you're going to put it in the back of their head, and you're going to pith them and kill them for the science. I said, I'm not doing it. He said, no, you're going to kill the mice, and that's what you got to do. That's your job. I said, I'm not going to do it. So he said to me, I'm going to tell you something, Michael. Either you're going to kill the mice, or I'm throwing you out of the course and out of the laboratory, and you're going to lose your fellowship. He knew we didn't have a dime other than the $300 a month fellowship. And he knew that if I lost it, I was broke. I had nothing. I said, well, you could throw me out if you want. I said, but I'm not going to kill the mice. I said, I may eat animals. I'm not going to torture an animal for your pleasure here in a laboratory. So he threw me out of the laboratory because I wouldn't kill the mice. I had nothing. That was the beginning of one of the luckiest breaks of my life because I wandered the halls of Leahy Hospital where this was going on in Honolulu, and I went down in the basement. I didn't get depressed. I said, this is horrible. I have no money. What am I going to do? And I noticed there were jars of herbs all over the wall in the showcases and said Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, herbs and leaves and roots. And I went and knocked on a professor's door, and I asked him, what are those things? Because I came from New York where, to me, a plant was a lettuce or a tomato. I didn't even know that there were more species than a lettuce or a tomato. I had never encountered anything more than a lettuce, a tomato, and a rose. I had no idea there were more than three species of plant at the time, having grown up in the, you know, in the asphalt jungle. So I knock on his door. I said, what are all these roots and herbs? He said, well, those are plants, and we study them for potential drugs, you know, medicines. I said, that's amazing. Where does that stuff come from? Oh, he said, it comes from way down in the South Pacific in Samoa. I said, well, who sends them to you? So he names the a young professor, and I said, well, what is his field that he gets to get a government grant to go sit in a village? And he said, well, the field is called ethnobotany. Guess what? I became an ethnobotanist and one of the most famous of my generation. In fact, my master's thesis, which is better than most PhDs today, was published in the Harvard in a Harvard journal. It was published in the Journal of Economic Botany in its entirety, which are considered, if for those of you in the scholarly field, to get a master's degree published in a journal is the sine qua non of scholarship. I never talk about these aspects of my life because I know it's popular radio and you want to hear about Giuliani and this and that. So that, I mean, things happen. In other words, if you follow your belief system and your heart, things will often never work out. In my case, I was lucky.
Savage.